Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted. And we are here to review the Rockets game that we didn't do last night. And we're here to preview the Hornets game, which we also didn't do last night. But before we get into that, be sure to go to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at OnTapSportsNet, at Bulls on Tap. Follow my dude Goose at Bull Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review, because that shit is cool and tough. Goose, last night, man, we were getting ready to get on the mic. Kid started crying, had to put her to bed, and then I fell asleep. So here we are tonight, 125-120 victory over the Houston Rockets. Big game from Zach LaVine, big shot from Lauri Markkanen there in the fourth quarter. A lot of good things we saw last night. But, I mean, shit, man, let's just get into this review. What did you see? What did you like? What you didn't like? Let's get into it.
I like that a team without arguably their two best two-way players in Otto Porter Jr. and Patrick Williams found a way, still without Satoransky, to beat a team that probably has better overall talent. Granted, Oladipo played his first game for the Rockets yesterday, so they have a lot to figure out in terms of chemistry and what kind of schemes they're going to run with their entire new offense, because James Harden was the staple there for so long. So, but to see the Bulls come in shorthanded once again and come out on top and win a game that we probably, at least myself, I did not expect them to win after beating Dallas with Luka and Porzingis back, I'm liking what I'm seeing after our collapse against OKC.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's nice. You know, one thing I like to see, too, is the game in OKC, I believe, Zach LaVine, what did he have, like, what was it, 10 points or something? Or 10 assists?
Was that that was the game after. That was the Dallas game.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. That was the Dallas game. 10 assists in the Dallas game. Comes out. He's dynamic with the ball. He scores against Houston. I mean, what a great stat line for him, too. You know, he's been super efficient this year. He was 11 for 16 from the field. 4-for-8 from downtown, only missed one free throw, 33 points, 4 boards, 7 assists, 2 steals and a block. But, man, the turnovers. He had 5 turnovers. He's got to knock that shit off. He's got it. What did you say the other night? Butterfingers with the ball when he gets into the paint?
It happens.
He's got to kind of try to get that under control a little bit. Something I did see last night compared to the night prior when Burke and I covered the game, Lauri Markkanen played very, very aggressive against Dallas, and then here against Houston, he kind of fell back to the same tendencies that we've seen in the past from him, most notably under Jim Boylan, where Lauri ends up taking 12 shots. He makes 5 of them. 11 of the shots were 3-point field goals, and 4 of those were made 3-point field goals. So he shot 44% from downtown. You know, it's not terrible. But at the same time, man, I want him to be more aggressive. That's what I need to see out of him. And I'm just hoping he's not getting back into that kind of mindset where he's just going to stand behind the three-point line. I didn't really feel like he drove the ball a lot against the Rockets. Like I was hoping he would do to keep that same energy from the game against Dallas. But what did you see out of Lauri? What did you like? What did you not like with his game?
I can kind of see where you're getting at, but unlike the game against Dallas, Zach was in attack mode. Zach had it going. So the best thing Lowry could do on a night like last night was hit his wide open shots, be the spacer, give Zach the room to continue to attack and create for the team. And I think you posted it from the On Tap account. Lowry did have the coast-to-coast play last night where he looked really good in transition,
yeah,
getting to the hole. And I do believe there was a couple other times where he went to the free throw line. So you can't see that in a shooting line. It looks like he only took three-point attempts. But the drives that don't show up are the ones where he drew contact and got to the line.
Yeah,
so
he took four free throws last night. I think he can get there more, but I again, you're right. Zach was in attack mode. He kind of had to, you know, fall back a little bit and kind of maybe try to fit in and play his role. But, I mean, hey, it worked out. I mean, the Bulls pull out a dub here, you know. Can't be too upset about it.
And to that point, you know, the previous night, Zach had to be a more versatile version of himself and stay back too and pass the ball instead of, you know, forcing up shots because somebody else didn't have it, and he had to do that. Lowry was on, so he didn't have to do that the last game. And it seems like every time Lowry plays Porzingis, we see a different version of Markkanen come out, and I wish we could see that every night. But that shot in the fourth quarter was huge. And the ball movement on that play in the last 2 minutes in the the trust that the Bulls players had amongst themselves instead of just relying on Zach LaVine to make the winning plays at the end of the game was probably the most encouraging thing for me outside of the Rockets game.
Yeah, absolutely. Ball movement was fantastic last night. They had it where they swung it around the horn for a Garrett Temple three-pointer last night. It was super sweet. And while we're on that topic, I need to eat my words for a minute, man. I hated on that so bad. I hated on the Garrett Temple was a sign. I signed him in 2K just to fill out my bench. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know what Garrett Temple's game is. I've watched basketball for a long time. I just didn't know how he'd translate over here. But my God, I'll give him credit where credit's due. He looks pretty good, and he looks comfortable too. Like, that's the cool thing. Like, he's barking at the young guys, trying to get him in the right spots. He's hitting his shots for the most part. You know, I've really liked what I've seen out of Garrett Temple. And defensively, too, I always knew he could play some perimeter D, but I feel like he is, I eat my words here. I think he's been playing really good, and that just shows, you know, me a little bit like a roster that Arturis Karnišovas is trying to build. He knew that Garrett Temple would fit in good here. And so far, since he's been thrusted into the starting role, you know, because he was starting at power forward for a little bit, you know. And then he's having to start for the injured Patrick Williams, who had, I believe it was a hip pointer or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. That is what he was out with, hip tightness or something. So hopefully he's back soon. But since he's been thrust into the starting role, he's been playing some pretty decent basketball.
Yeah, P-Will was hip pointer, hip contusion, something along those lines. So hopefully he is back. I'm assuming it has more to do with the fact that he's a rookie and he hasn't played very many games that, you know, he sat out a game, probably precautionary. I don't expect it to be anything long term, but the combination of Thaddeus Young and Garrett Temple is an amazing duo of vets for a young team like this, and I think their presence has been just as important as Billy's at times.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely agree with that. I mean, it's just so cool to, I know we say this like almost every fucking podcast we're on, but watching Billy Donovan, I'm going to gush over it consistently throughout the season. Watching Billy Donovan coach, I forgot what a good coach looked like. I really did. I really didn't know what a good coach looked like anymore, and I really think that Billy Donovan is just getting the most out of this young roster, and it's from different guys, too, each night. It's not like a one-trick pony type shit. You know, you're getting it from Zach, and then he's facilitating the next night. You're getting it from Wendell, who's hitting his midi and being aggressive, getting in the paint. Lowry comes back, you know, has a game against Dallas, hits his shots last night. We've seen Kobe White with big games and starting to facilitate the ball. I think that we've seen a lot of good things, and with the vets, like you mentioned before, really tying things in together. It just makes for a more pleasurable Chicago Bulls watching experience. And that's where I'm at with it. It's a lot more fun this year to do post games, you know, not just because we're winning or we're two games under 500 or whatever. You know, we're still under 500. And everybody needs to keep that in mind. But it's more enjoyable because you're seeing progress. And that's something that I really, really like to see. You know, another thing that I kind of want to bring up last night, too, is I thought I really thought that Vic was going to struggle, you know, going into a new team. I know he's a very, very good player, but dude, 32-9-5. Two steals, but he did have seven turnovers. But my God, Victor Oladipo looked like a G. I think that once he starts gelling there in Houston, like with a guy like Christian Wood, who he's going to be playing with on a consistent basis, and John Wall and Boogie, I think that they might have a chance to have a little bit of a turnaround.
You know, the West is a different beast than the East. We were able to blow a game to OKC that we were up by 22 points, drop that game to Golden State on a few blown calls and a game-winning shot by Steph's brother-in-law. And we're still right in the heart of the play-in in the playoffs. For the Rockets, losing to teams like the Bulls means the end of your season. It's not going to put you in a position to be in the play-in or especially the playoffs. So hopefully for them, Victor Oladipo gels quickly, and you have to think that's kind of why they forced that move. Although I do think Caris LeVert is a rather underrated player in his own right. Getting Vic in there with the emergence of Christian Wood and having some returning veteran previous all-stars like Wall and Boogie there, anything can happen. But it's the West, and a team like the Nuggets, who we saw make the Western Conference Finals last year, they lost Jeremy Grant. But outside of that, they're fairly the same team, and they're struggling out in the West right now. So maybe it's because AK left them.
that's the hope.
that's the hope. So no, you gotta like what you're seeing from Billy, and you gotta see how the players are responding to Billy and watching games. You actually feel like you can win. It's not like last year where you had a lead and every game felt like the OKC game. Even during the OKC game, I didn't think that was going to happen. After it happened, it was like, oh fuck, here we go again. But to not have that feeling every night is something new, and it's something that I hope continues as we get healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, that's another thing. Otto Porter Jr., something I wanted to bring up. We actually had a question about this that was at – I can't remember who did it. I'm going to try to find it. But someone sent us a question to the Bulls on Tap Twitter asking what do we think the opinions are on trying to resign him. And I don't really know what people are looking for an answer here, but all I know is – I wouldn't mind having Otto Porter Jr. be a guy who's coming off my bench. I wouldn't mind it at all, but I'm not going to fucking pay homie big money. And not just because of his play. He can't stay on the court. And that's an issue. Like, in a contract year, I assumed he'd be out there balling every damn day. And I knew it would hurt him in a contract year coming off the bench regardless. I mean, it's going to hurt you regardless unless you're getting crazy minutes. But Patrick Williams has been kind of asserting himself there. And then when Lowry goes down, OPJ's getting more leash, and then he goes down. Listen, OPJ's a fine player, and, you know, he's done some good for the Bulls. But I cannot justify paying him a crazy amount of money. I don't know about you. I don't even know what he would be looking for. You know, probably $25 million, something there.
I can't see him getting that. I don't see him getting a penny over 15, 18.
I said that's what he's looking for.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what you're looking for and what you get are very often a lot different things. Right. So in an off season where we don't have the Giannis's, the ADs, we don't know if Kawhi's going to dip his toe in the free agency pond or not. Not that he'd come here anyway, though he did compliment us after that Clippers game. Why not? I mean, if the price is right, he's a good player. At the very least, you resign him and you have a tradable asset because he is a guy who can shoot the ball and defend multiple positions on that end. So, you know, that seems to be what AK is looking for at every position. And if Otto wants to stay here and the price is right, hell yeah, go for it. Do I think he's helping his case with back spasms and back tightness after the season he had last year? No, most definitely not. This could impact his value, and maybe it makes it more realistic for the Bulls to retain it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't be upset with that dude coming off my bench, you know. But there's there's so many endless possibilities of just people I've talked to on Twitter in general, and, you know, about Zach LaVine being moved and they need to do that soon because they're not going to pay him a max, or, you know what I'm saying, because that's what he's going to be looking for. And, you know, Lowry, I mean, you have both of those guys coming up relatively quickly. Lowry now, for the most part, didn't get the extension done. And then you have, you know, Zach, and what was it, this year and next year, and then he's, you know, he's out of his contract. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of questions. I just, right now, I think I'm more so enjoying watching them actually play decent basketball and seeing their games be unlocked. Because there's still that stigma around Zach that he's not a number one, and I still don't think he is, but I think he could be a two.
You mean you're enjoying the show before they rip our hearts out and trade him away?
It's going to happen.
See, maybe it doesn't. Maybe what they're showing right now is enough for them to roll through a full season and kind of ride through forward with this, knowing that you have teams like the Nets and the Lakers for the next few years and buy yourself some time, and maybe we see this roster stay together. I don't think that's the case, but the way they're playing right now, maybe. So I don't want to talk too much about trading them right now. Let's enjoy the good feelies while we can, and if they depart, then we can have our farewell videos and shed a tear and pour one out and all that fun stuff.
I can't wait for the tribute video. It's like, thank you, Zach.
What's going to be crazy is if Zach leaves here, there's going to be a lot of like single game records that he holds in the Bulls record books. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah. Wasn't here long.
Yeah.
Wasn't here long, man. Well, next game. Let's get into that. Next game's against the 6-8 Charlotte Hornets. So, you know, look, we're twins. We're both 6-8. I think Charlotte actually plays before Friday. So that'll change. But we're playing a pretty young, exciting team. And I've been debating with myself, man. Like, do I want to get League Pass? I used to have League Pass. And then, you know, having the kids and shit, I just don't have time to fucking sit and watch every NBA game, you know. But I really want League Pass for New Orleans and Charlotte. No idea why. Give two fucks about the Lakers. I can give two fucks about the Clippers. I already know what those guys do. I like Zion and LaMelo and Miles Bridges and, you know, Brandon Ingram. I want to watch those teams, but Charlotte is a team that I'm excited to watch the Bulls play, and a lot of that is because I'm excited to watch LaMelo Ball play. You know, I've gotten to catch a couple of his games. You know, thank you, whoever does that pirating on Reddit, and then whoever was, you know, and then, you know, whoever is, you know, whenever they're on fucking national television or whatever, but that's something I'm really excited about is to watch, you know, LaMelo get some good minutes against us. And, you know, I really like Miles Bridges too. Like, dude is super, super fucking athletic. I mean, just a badass. Devontae Graham, you know, I'm a Kansas guy. So, a big Devontae Graham dude. Like, so I'm excited to watch.
You're not a Kansas guy, you're a Kirk Heinrich guy.
That is why.
There's a very big difference.
Okay, I don't cheer for them anymore, but for the longest time, I still do, like, if they're playing, because the GOAT went there, bro. Kirk Heinrich.
Yeah, well, now we got the Dotson affiliation, so.
Here you go. I can start using that. Why do you like them? Because Dotson went there, man. He's a Chicago kid. He went to fucking Kansas. How can you be mad about that? But the GOAT Kirk Heinrich went there, so I always kind of cheered for Kansas a little bit just because of Kirky. But I am excited. I am excited for this game coming up. I do think the Bulls have a really – I mean, they're playing real well right now. And I think Patrick Williams will be back. I mean, it's a pretty good layoff, dude, Monday to Friday, right? I mean, they've got a lot of days in between this. They got 4 days in between the next game. So hopefully he can get healed up and, you know, the Bulls can make something happen.
I have to think that was the thinking behind sitting him for the Rockets game, was giving him that game off and essentially giving a really young kid who's never played this many games this close a full week to kind of recover and readjust his body to what it's about to go through for another short spurt here before he gets a similar break again. So it's nice to see the Bulls were able to pull out the W. I do think the Hornets are a fairly good matchup. PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, a lot of the guys that you're talking about are exciting young players. Kind of an even playing field. Young team against young team, 6-8, 6-8. You did mention they play a game before playing the Bulls, so they won't come in with the same record, but regardless, having the same record means the Hornets are at or around the same spot that the Bulls are in the standings in the East. So getting a win against them moves us, you know, closer to that play-in that we're all kind of hoping to run into. What the hell are you pouring? Are you pouring hot sauce into your drink? What's going on over there?
Don't call me out like that, bro. What's up? It's beer salt, man. I found this shit, and it's like lemon lime flavored salt, dude. And
so it's Corona in a can?
Kinda. And you know what's funny about it is, like, you know, salt, like when you take in a lot of salt, you get thirsty, right? So I'm like, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm pouring a bunch of salt in my beer, and as I drink my beer, I get more thirsty for more beer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I got it.
I think you're just killing kidneys, not birds, but that's okay.
That's debatable. But it's a fucking totally awesome little science thing I have going on. I get more thirsty. It gets all foamy and cool looking.
Okay.
Dude, call me out like that. Come on.
I don't know. I just see this shaker, and you're like just pouring it into something, and I'm like, what is he doing? What is this magical white substance going into Buzz's beverage? Jamie, get your mans.
That's fucked up. Oh my god, we're off the rails, but that's okay. So, there was another thing I wanted to touch on too, man, that I fucking forgot that I wanted to even talk about, and it was important too. It was actually important, and I forgot what we were going to fucking talk about. That's whatever. I don't care. It'll come to me before we go. So, predictions for this Hornets game, because I know it's far away. We're usually doing fucking post games, you know, at least 2-3 times a week. This week it'll only be, well, today and Friday. But what are your predictions for this game? I mean, they're at Charlotte, so they need to come out hot right away. But the Bulls actually away aren't so bad.
I'm going to go Bulls by 7.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. The Bulls are 4-5 away. I think they win this one by 10.
Okay. Right, see, 10 was my initial saying, and then I figured I'd go safe with 7.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, the last few games, though, man, Bulls, I know they came out 125-120, but they were up 10 for a lot of the game. 117-101 against the Mavericks, and they were up for a lot of the game. Obviously, and they come away with a win. And then the Thunder, we already know how that fucking went down. We touched on that in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, we led the whole entire game until overtime.
They've had double-digit leads for the last 4 games in a row.
No, I mean, the Bulls' offense, it's kind of crazy to see how bad our defense is with nearly the same personnel, minus Chris Dunn and Shaq Harrison, swapped for Temple, and I guess probably Denzel Valentine. So it's crazy to think how our offense did a 180 and our defense has done a 180. And the defense, the rotations have been getting better as the season's kind of progressing here. But to just see that 180, like, we couldn't score worth a shit last year. We had the same guys. So, like, was Jim that horrible?
Yeah, and that is yeah, and that's when
yes,
we were talking.
Yes, he was.
That's when we were talking about that Coach Nick guy from B-Ball Breakdown, that video that I sent you about how Jim put the wrong – I mean, and we knew it all year. He put the wrong players in the wrong situations to succeed. And the Bulls' offense this year, under Billy Donovan, is – they're fourth in the league, bruh. They're fourth in the NBA. The average score is 117.43 points. 117 fucking points a game. At home, they're 116 points. Their field goal percentage is 47.77%. Free throw, 80%. I mean, their three-point percentage is 38.54%. Assists a game, 25.43. I mean, holy shit, dude. Like,
did we ever get a response from that Jim Boylan Twitter guy?
No, he did not. He did not want to come and play with us.
No, the Bulls are passing the ball and scoring the basketball with the same people he had last year. He doesn't want to talk about it.
It kind of goes to what you said in the beginning, that's for sure not Jim. Because I had an inkling I thought it might be, but there's no way that's Jim. Because even Jim, he might be a prideful guy, but he cannot be that prideful. He had to know how bad he sucked ass.
Yeah. Like, Jim should have been punching out his own clock.
It's like a fucking Clerks 2 reference. You never go ass to mouth. That's what Jim Boylan did last year. Went ass to mouth fucking constantly. And my God, when you sit and you think about it, it's so irritating to think about a year of development he fucked up for quite a few young players.
So Jim Go and Human Centipede just ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, he was just shitting in everybody's mouth, man. It was ridiculous. Do you think he was proud of Archie last night when Archie hit the half-court shot?
Oh, I'm sure he sits at home cheering Archie on. He probably hates the rest of the team because nobody listened to him, but Archie definitely just he's got Archie posters all over the wall. Fathead had to come up with custom Archie pictures for Jim Boylan.
Do you think that he went to like the fucking United Center print shop where you can get your little custom jersey and he fucking made a little Archie Diacono jersey for himself before he left?
Archie's dad or something?
Yeah, dude. I love Fred always says that. Like, Fred's always like, oh.
Coach's son
out here trying real hard. And, you know, I'm sure Archie's a nice guy and he would totally wreck me in basketball, obviously. But.
No, Archie actually hit a couple big shots last night. I was actually. I almost had to come out with a Twitter apology to Seville Bulls or whatever.
Oh, I love it. I love him, man.
because Archie was doing his thing last night. I'll give him that. There was some moments where it was like, what the hell are you doing on defense, Archie? Yeah, you totally just fouled that guy. Don't try to play it off like you didn't hit him. But there's a couple big shots that he made.
Yeah, he went 3 for 4 from downtown against Houston. He had fucking 9 points, 2 assists, 3 fouls. But, I mean, he did all right. He had 2 boards,
hey,
too.
If Archie has as many fouls as he does 3-pointers made every night, I'll take it.
Now, we need to talk about the man of the hour.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know who we need to talk about? We need to talk about, one, Denzel Valentine. And the swag. He hit him with a shrug last night, dude. Did you see
it? He's not allowed to do that shrug. That's the problem with Denzel. He does things way above his pay grade and his talent level, and he wonders why people just look at him and shake their head.
And, like, he has made a new term this year, the OMG, the old man game.
Yeah.
Stacey's calling it. And I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I see him have the ball, I cringe a little bit.
Oh, no. My girlfriend was watching me watch the game because she doesn't actually like to watch the game. She likes to watch me watch the game. And I'm just – every time Denzel doesn't shoot the three-pointer and he starts dribbling the ball towards the hoop, I'm just like, please don't do it. Don't do it. And then he does that little – just a little flicker. And it goes in most of the time, so I can't even be mad. But it just – it looks so awkward and unorthodox, and it does not look natural for him at all. It's like, just stick to chucking the ball. But
I feel like when I watch him playmake, I feel like I hit a steamroller because it's all slow motion. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it's just like this slow dribble throughout the paint. And they're on him. You know, they're defending him a little bit, but he just somehow either does the little floater thing or he kicks it out to somebody. I'm like, why are you drawing so much attention to Denzel Valentine in the paint? I don't understand. It's working. He had 13-8 last night. 13-8.
Floater game's elite.
It's amazing. Why is he growing on me? Why?
I don't know. Maybe he reminds you of Kirk. He's not very athletic, but he's crafty with the ball, and he can shoot the three.
I will have you fucking know that Kirk Heinrich dunked on LeBron James. That happened.
Well, Denzel Valentine has dunked once in a game, so that's the same thing.
Kirk has dunked more than once in the NBA.
It might be twice now for Valentine, but I do remember that. It was either last season. No, he didn't play very much last season. It might have been the season before that. Denzel had his first NBA dunk. I remember that.
And Scott Van Pelt called it the Heinrich Maneuver.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got the clip right here. It's saved on my computer because that's how obsessed I am.
This does not shock me.
Do you know what my first email was?
Kirk's son.
No.
1-2.
No. It was Heinrich Fan for Life 12.
That's even worse.
I swear to God, it was. It's all right though. You know, it's all right. He's still one of my favorite Bulls of all time. It's definitely a 3-way tie between him, Jordan, and Rose.
I do feel like 3 of the 5 times that I've seen you in person, you are wearing a Kirk Heinrich jersey. So.
I just do that because I know you're coming to hang out.
Oh, okay. I just thought you didn't have any other clothes.
That's, you know, man, that's not funny. I don't. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I wear the same rotation of bullshit constantly. Oh my god, that's fucking hilarious. That's fucking hilarious. All right, well, we gave our previews or reviews of the Houston game. Ah, man, I don't think we got anything else to talk about. Just hope that P. Will's back. I really hope that OPJ could come back. I'd like to see this team at full fucking, you know, at full strength. Do we have any word on Sato? Have you seen anything on Sato?
I have not. I've kind of been MIA from Twitter a little bit lately. But, no, I haven't heard anything about Sato. I haven't really been keeping up to date. I was hoping that you were on that front. But apparently we're both kind of left in the dark.
Well, the only thing that I saw was that on the 17th, he had joined Hutch at the Advocate Center. That was the last thing that I've seen from about Satoransky and Hutch. That was the last thing that I saw. I think that Hutch probably got fucked out of this rotation unless it's really evaluation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Hutch was doing a lot of good things before he went out, though, too.
He was. It's just Garrett Temple, you know, P. Will, OPJ. I mean, Lowry, Thad, DG's been playing real well. You know, I know that's a different position, but still, in all, like, you know, DG's been playing well, so he's backing up Wendell. You know, and then you have.
There's almost not enough minutes to go around on this team.
Right. I mean, definitely Coach's son is going to be out, and that's when Jim Boylan's fucking burner will come back out. But, I mean, I don't know. I'd really like to see Sato with the second unit. You know, especially with the staggering in the starting lineup, I'd really like to see Sato come in to maybe relieve Levine and, like, let Kobe go into that off-ball guard duty for a little bit so he just really kind of focuses on one thing. I'd love to see that. I just hope he can get healthy and he can get back, because he did test positive for COVID, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, him and Hutch were the two that tested positive.
Right, and then
Archie and Lowry were just in the protocol.
And they kept testing negative, but they had to stay away from the team because of the testing and all that bullshit, right? Okay.
Yep, and Lowry and Archie rode in the same van with Sato back from Washington in like 12 hours.
What a mind fuck, dude.
Yeah.
God, that'd fucking suck. I wouldn't be into that. All right. Well, fucking A, man. This is a good one. It's funny. We laughed. I showed you my beer salt. You got any last words before we ride out here?
No. Let's kick Charlotte's ass and win 3 games in a row. I don't think we did that at all last year.
We didn't.
Okay.
We did lose 3 games in a row, though, last year.
Well, we were really good at that one, so let's perfect the other one this year. And let's get 3, let's make it 4, let's make it 5, let's get freaky.
Not 6, not 7, not 8.
No, we're not going to use that reference. That's bad luck.
Oh, is it really? Okay, my bad. Well, okay, I'll stop right away. I apologize. Everybody be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at bullsontap, following Goose at bullscripted, follow me at buzzontap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, so be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. We'll be back Friday night after the Bulls play the Charlotte Hornets. Tip-off is 6 p.m. Central Time for that game. So don't forget, 6 p.m. Central Time against Charlotte on Friday. We'll be back with post-game after that. Let's go.